Welcome to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your city upside down. Hey, I'm your host, Justin Goff. Stay tuned. We got a great show for you today. All right. Hey, you are listening to the Grace for This City podcast. I'm your host, Justin. And hey, we're helping you turn your city upside down. How are we doing that? We're giving you scriptural motivation and strategies so you can get out there and you can get some stuff done for your King. King Jesus, that is. And don't you know that he has an agenda right now? He has a plan. He's a king. And he has a sphere of dominion. And he said, he told us, he said, go to these places, go into the nations, go everywhere and to every creature. Of course, tell them the good news. But then he said this, heal, deliver, raise the dead, cast out demons. And then he said, tell them the kingdom has come. Well, you know, his kingdom is a kingdom of freedom. It's a kingdom of truth. It's a kingdom of light. It's a kingdom of deliverance. And he sent us like sheep among wolves. He sent us out into the kingdoms of the world. The Bible says there's a God of this age, lowercase g God, of course referring to the devil. And he has sent us in amongst his rulership and kingdom as ambassadors of the heavenly kingdom and with power and authority to bring the light of the gospel of the glory, and to set the captives free. Oh, I love it. I mean, so just absolutely amazing when you think about it. And so he wants you to get out there and do some stuff. And that's what we mean by turning your cities upside down. You're going to advance with the truth of the gospel, with the truth of the word, with dunamis power, being an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ, representing his kingdom, setting people free under that anointing and with the anointing. Place is going to be turned upside down. They're going to be messed up for good because you've been there. And you have walked in the light of the truth. And you're not ashamed. That's the other thing. You don't want to be ashamed or afraid. There are people dying because you're a coward. So rise up, brother. Rise up, sister. And get out there and get some stuff done for your king. Hey, I'm joined in the studio today. We've got a great episode planned today. I'm joined in the studio by my very lovely wife, Miranda.
Hello.
Hey, thank you for being on the podcast. I should have had this ready, and I didn't. Let me do that one more time. Hey, we've got Miranda.
Hey.
Yeah. There we go.
Woo. That's great.
Yeah. Got her on the podcast today. Thanks so much, love, for being here.
Yeah. Glad
and,
to be here.
And you've got something from the Lord.
Yeah. Just something that's really been encouraging me, but also, you know, for people who are wanting to turn their city upside down, it's a key. It's a very important key. And it just has to do with where the power's coming from in our prayers. And you know, when they were, well, I'm not sure if this is exactly where it is, but in the scriptures it talks about it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by his spirit,
right?
And you know, it doesn't matter how much manpower you have, how big your church is, that ain't gonna do it.
Right.
I mean, hey, it's great to have a big church, but it's by his spirit. The assignment that's been given to you, it's by his spirit.
Well, you know, the Bible says he can save by many, yeah, or by few. So, you know, it's not about a big church or a little church. A lot of people despise little churches. Some people think the big churches are all snotty. And, you know, sure, there's little churches doing nothing. Big churches doing nothing. But it is true that there are little churches doing tremendous work, and there are big churches doing tremendous work.
Yeah.
So the main thing is that it's just whoever's yielded. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the head of the church, whether that church is 10 or 10,000.
Yeah.
And there's one mission. And so you could have 10,000 people in one church, mm-hmm, all doing the work, mm-hmm, of the kingdom the same way a 10-member church is.
Yeah.
So it's not about quantification in that sense. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening and you're part of a small church, listen. A lot of people feel real ashamed that they're a part of a small church, and you don't need to be ashamed as long as you're obeying God. And, of course, you don't need to be ashamed if you're in a big church. Big churches get, you know, ridiculed a lot too. But if you're doing the works, you don't need to be ashamed of it. But you do need to find you a church, right? You need to find you a church that's really yielded in and in touch, in tune with what the Holy Spirit's doing.
Yeah. Get in your assignment. There's a greater anointing sometimes that comes corporately on the body when they come together. It's like a combination of strengths and giftings is released. I'm thinking of cartoons. They try to capture that in cartoons, you know, all these different superhero powers with our powers combined.
Yeah. Right.
They try, you know, but really.
Think of Power Rangers.
Yeah, yeah. That's true, though.
If anybody remembers that.
Yeah, I remember that. There's Captain Planet. That's what I was thinking of.
Oh, wow.
But no, you're not missing anything because that's really true in the body. And when you come together, it doesn't matter if it's the little oldest little lady, the littlest baby, their spirit has a supply. And when you bring it all together, and we found this out in our prayer meetings, even the little ones, they bring something. That's what I love about, you know, just the Holy Spirit. It's true that his power is made perfect in our weakness. And I think sometimes I look back just on my very small existence and experience, and I see that in my youth there was a lot of just relying on my own strength and a lot of relying on my flesh, you know, the fact that I'm young, you know, we can get things done, but really there was no power in that. And I think that's tempting for youth, and it's really pride. It's just real tempting for youth, and there's things that are tempting for older people too, but there's a beauty in the weakness that we have because he's made strong in that. And so I know I say this probably every time I'm on here, but it doesn't matter if you're stuck in your rocking chair or wherever, in your nursing home. If you're a small child, it doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit is the same and will work the same through you as he would through a TV evangelist or a well-known prophet or a well-known prayer warrior. It's the same spirit. He just wants you to humble yourself and allow him to flow through you.
You know, I'm thinking of Romans chapter 8, you know, to encourage some of the listeners mm-hmm. who are not up in front of everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people think, well, you know, I don't get invited on the platform, or, you know, I don't have a microphone, so what am I doing? Mm-hmm. But in Romans chapter 8, it says, talking about the Holy Ghost who is partnering with us in intercession for the will of God, anybody can do that.
Yeah.
And you can partner mm-hmm. with Holy Ghost in intercession for the perfect will of God.
Yes.
From your chair.
Yeah.
You know, from your bedroom, from mm-hmm. your prayer place. You don't have to be up in front of somebody all the time. That mm-hmm. doesn't mean, oh, it's real now because you have a microphone.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a place for that.
Yeah.
And in corporate setting, yeah, but sure, be up, people can see you, leader, microphone, they can hear you. But a lot of people aren't doing anything mm-hmm. because they don't think they have a place in front of somebody's mm-hmm. or with a microphone. So I just want to dispel that.
Yeah, that's the truth. That's flesh. You're looking at things in the natural to determine the power that's available or working through you, and you can't do that. There's no power in the natural. And I think that's what the Lord has been just bringing into even more understanding to me, is that it's not in the flesh, it's in the spirit. And you know, he's been dealing with me about this for a long time, and it's just easy to get into that ditch where you start leaning, and I say ditch, it's leaning on the arm of the flesh. You know, do I have, you know, am I strong in this? Do I look good enough? Am I put together enough? Do I have my checklist checked off? And it ain't going to do it. It just ain't going to do it. Doesn't matter if every T is crossed, every I is dotted, nothing will get done in the spirit if that's all we're basing it on. And what really brought clarity, the Lord had already started showing me this for a few years now, but this really came to light and just, I guess, it was expounded upon just recently. And again, I'm in Miss Lynn Hammond's book, her prayer devotional called Devotions for the Praying Heart. And by Lynn Hammond, very, very just powerful. She just has such a vocabulary for prayer, and the Holy Ghost has just gifted her with that. And this really ministered to me in this particular one called It's All in the Spirit. And she says, in our desire to pray more powerfully and effectively, we come up with innumerable principles and formulas to follow. We gather up all kinds of keys and steps to success. You know, we've been in an information age anyway, and I think that's probably why it's probably always been a temptation, but even more so in our culture. You know, we've just had so much information. We surround prayer, which should be as simple and natural as breathing, with so many rules and regulations that we eventually become intimidated by it. We end up feeling like we need a checklist a mile long in our prayer closet just to make sure we're doing everything right. And don't get me wrong, I'm strongly in favor of good scriptural teaching on prayer. I believe the principles we learn from the Word are vital, and biblical steps and keys are helpful at times. But if we try on our own to figure out how to put them all together and make them work, we end up confused and frustrated.
Wow.
She says, left to ourselves, we don't know what to do. There's only one person who can answer those questions for us, the person of the Holy Spirit.
Wow,
see,
wow, wow.
You can't just have a list of to-dos. It's a relationship. It's a flowing together.
A lot of people are afraid of that, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, as you're reading that, how many people are afraid of trusting the Holy Spirit to show them how to do a thing like prayer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, one, they don't ever try. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm all, like she just said, I mean, totally all for.
Yeah.
I mean, totally all for going and getting some teaching, some training, you know, who is known as a prayer leader, who is known to teach on prayer, you know, that's awesome. But a lot of people will delay starting until, and then whatever dot dot dot, you know, one through 25 or 30 things you think have to be met up front before you could even try. But the Holy Spirit, none of these other people learned anything except by the Holy Spirit revealing it to them. And so, you know, I think a lot of people are at a standstill.
Yeah,
they say, well, I don't know how. Well, why don't you go ask the Holy Spirit how? Why don't you go to a place of prayer, ask Holy Spirit, how do I do this? Mm-hmm. And then trust. But what I'm saying is, I think people don't trust the unction. Mm. Okay, what are we saying is the unction? Well, that's wisdom, or that's knowledge, a knowing from inside you, your spirit man, that lights upon your mind. Mm-hmm. Most people don't trust that as being of the Spirit or by the Spirit or even Holy Spirit himself. And I just want to encourage people to, at some point, you're going to have to learn to trust that. Yeah. You're going to have to get quiet enough to recognize that lighting upon your mind. And I think we've said this in a podcast before. And I know if you're listening, you can't see me. But for those who are watching and listening via the video stream on Facebook and YouTube, you know, when I hear the Lord, you know, most of the time, you know, it's not audible, but what I mean by here is he's speaking to my spirit man. And when I know it's the Spirit or the Lord leading or unction out of my spirit or from the spirit realm, it doesn't come from out here, like to the left and right side of my brain. In many times, that's how a fiery dart or a lie or a tactic of the enemy, some thought, a suggestion, or an idea from the enemy, seems like, okay, I mean, work with me here, but it seems like it comes from the left or right side outside of my head somewhere into my brain. But when it comes from the spirit, it's like from my belly.
It's a deep place.
From my deep place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, from a deep place. The King James uses the word bowels. I mean, it's like a deep, from your, kind of like your belly, below your heart type area. I mean, I'm just trying to put it in natural words here, but it comes up and then lights on my mind. It's like a knowing. It's like a, oh, okay, it's this. It's a, oh, that's what it's an answer. It's a thought. It's a truth. It's a knowing. It doesn't always sound like some external person speaking, like, oh, whose voice is that, per se? Although I one time I had we were in a situation a couple years ago, and I got real-time direction from my angel. And it wasn't an audible voice, at least I didn't think it was in the moment, but for whatever reason, in that situation, I had a knowing that that was my angel who told me to go here and look in this drawer and grab this particular thing. I'm not going to share the details of the situation, but I had explicit instructions from an angel. And but when you're led of the Lord, it comes up out of your spirit and lights upon your mind. And people need to trust that, though. Mm-hmm. You need to know where it comes from, mm-hmm. be able to distinguish an outside here into your mind being a distraction from the enemy, mm-hmm. or, you know, some other random person's voice, versus the leading of the Holy Ghost. All right.
I'm thinking of interest-led learning. It's a phrase in the homeschool realm, but it's when you kind of begin to you introduce subjects into homeschooling based on the child's interest as they become, like, say, the all of a sudden you see they're really interested in like ships or something. Well, you just, you know, you bring out all the books on ships and look up documentaries on ships. Or if they're interested in music, you start moving in that direction. But, you know, you've got all your books on your shelf, you've got all your prayers on your paper, you got your checklist, but it's almost like it's interest led. It's what's really sparking in my spirit right now. What book is drawing me? What prayer is drawing me? And when it's coming up out of your spirit, it's almost like there's a power on it. There's an excitement on it. It's kind of pulling you in a direction, and that helps me many times to discern. But I love that she says the Holy Spirit is the only teacher who can show us exactly how to pray in every situation. You could be staring at a pile of books on prayer. You could be staring at a pile of manuals on how to pray. I don't care if it's Brother Hagin or I'm trying to think of all the prayer people, Father Nash.
Yeah.
You know, you
Lynn
name
Hammond,
it.
Lynn
Hammond,
Billy
Hammond,
Brim,
everybody, you know.
Brenda Brim.
Brenda Brim. And then Miss Brenda talks about Madame Guyon. She's from Guyon. Way back. Yeah. But the Holy Spirit is the simple secret of powerful prayer. He shows you which prayer to pray. And you can tell if you're just pulling it off the top of your head because you picked it up at the last meeting you were at, or if it came from the depths of your spirit because it's the prayer Jesus is saying for right now. There's a power on it. And it's like you sense in the spirit that some walls just fell, some demons just shuddered and ran. You know, mm-hmm. you can sense that in the spirit. That's happened to us many times. I'm sure it's happened to you all. But I love that she goes on and she says, sometimes we forget how totally dependent we are upon the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we fall into the same trap the Galatian believers fell into and start trying to live our lives on our own just by following biblical laws and principles. We take the word we've learned and try to apply it in our own fleshly strength. And Justin and I joke about the season we went through of our lives where we were like faith robots. It's like we had downloaded every single thing possible about faith. Kenneth Copeland, you know, Kenneth Hagin, and Keith Moore and Jesse Duplantis and Bill Winston, and we were just loaded up on all of these faith teachings, and we were just, you know, like machine guns with it. And I think that there were some powerful ones.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord used a lot of it. But then there was a lot of hit and miss, like shotgun faith. You know, just like, just scatter it. But it really didn't have any power because the Holy Spirit wasn't prompting it. And I look back and I think, why did I do that? You know? I mean, I don't know. I don't know why I did that. But it's the same thing that the Galatian church did. And, you know, Justin and I were a part of some really powerful moves of God through the Brownsville revival. We were able to go there 3 years in a row, and then they came to our church, and there was just such spiritual experiences. And I look at just my life and I see that I did the same thing that the Galatian church did. And, you know, when I experienced disappointment that I didn't see the same revival that I was wanting to see, I just kind of let that spiritual side just kind of fall asleep. And I was like, well, I was just going to work these faith principles for a while, you know? I was going to do this. This is something that, you know, will be good. I don't know what I was thinking, but the Apostle Paul tells them, he says, and I really like what it says in the Amplified, Galatians 3:2-3, says, let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit as a result of obeying the law and doing its works? Or was it by hearing the message of the gospel and believing it? Was it from observing a law of rituals or from a message of faith? Are you so foolish and so senseless and so silly? Having begun your new life spiritually with the Holy Spirit, are you now reaching perfection by depending on the flesh? Like we can actually finish our assignment by depending on the flesh? And I love how the Passion says, why then would you so foolishly turn from living in the Spirit by trying to finish by your own works? I knew there was a call. And I thought, well, I'll just use all these, you know, scripture cards and these memory verses and these faith confessions. And they were all good and they were all pure and they were all from the Word. But I was just trying to do it in my own strength. And it was like faith failure after faith failure after faith failure. But like I said, there were some ones where we actually hit what the Spirit was saying. But this is the maturity that He's calling us into, body, to where we don't get trapped in just going through our checklist during our prayer times or when He calls us to prayer, but learning how to wait on the Lord for what, you know, Justin was saying, that unction to come up, and then releasing it. That's when you put that faith with it, because you've got His word, you've got His will, and it didn't come just from your head, but you know the Spirit was on it. He was directing you to it. You were interested in it. It was drawing you. And you release that in the power of the Spirit.
You know, I think you may have already said this. I just want to reiterate it. She was saying that the simple secret is the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of people, your prayer life will go to the next level when we're able to go into a time of prayer. Mm. Once again, trusting Holy Spirit to navigate that according to His will, His perfect will, and we not rely or lean on our own understanding or our prayer checklist. Mm-hmm. Prayer checklists aren't bad. I'm not saying that they're bad. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is a lot of people go into with a naturally minded agenda. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that they're going to reach the fullness. That doesn't mean that Holy Spirit is on that right now. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that that's what Jesus is wanting to utilize His body in intercession for. Mm-hmm. Of course, the Holy Spirit's partnering with the head of the church and us. But people get lost many times thinking that you're doing something because you've got it down on a piece of paper in a checklist. I'm not saying checklists are bad. I'm not saying that you don't know that you need to pray for this or this. And I'm not saying if you write something down so you don't forget, it's a bad thing. What I'm saying is going to the next level.
Yeah.
Trusting Holy Spirit to give you the prayer.
Yeah.
That's what we learned about Daniel. Mm-hmm. When Daniel realized that the prophecy had intersected its time, he set himself to get the prayer. That's actually what the Hebrew word says there. So he didn't just start making up a prayer because he saw things happening in the natural. When he saw things happening in the natural, he postured himself to get the prayer.
Yes. Yeah, and I love that's right what she says next. Effective prayer is always in the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Then Paul told us in Ephesians 6:18 to pray at all times on every occasion in every season, because we do not know what prayer to offer nor how to offer it as we should. And some people, you know, she says some people argue with that statement. Well, I know the word of God, so I just pray the word.
Right.
They'd say the word always works.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
True, the word does work, but only the Holy Spirit knows which part of the word, which prayer will work most effectively in any given situation. He is the only one who can show us how to use the scriptures with supernatural power and precision. I like that word. That's an important word.
Yep.
It's got to have precision. I mean, you know, the word's always going to do something, but we want it to be precise in its working. It is only with his help that the Bible truly becomes the sword of the Spirit in our mouths.
You know, there's several movements, groups, organizations, denominations, whatever, out there that give no consideration to the personal relationship with, and then therefore the interaction with Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And they are so only Bible-minded. Now, when somebody say, well, we're word-minded, but that's not what they're saying. What mm-hmm. they're saying is we are literally only ink on paper in yeah. the, whatever their favorite translation is, minded.
Yeah.
And so when they say, well, we just pray the scriptures, well, what they're saying is they do not take into account nor appreciate the real-time interaction with Holy Spirit,
yeah.
saying, pray about this. And they say, no, we pray the word. Okay. But the word is living. The word is living. And I'm not saying don't pray the word. What I'm saying is don't discount the author of the word
yeah.
and the revealer of the word, Holy Spirit, to work with you on real-time things with the word
yeah.
as the basis or the authority for which you're praying into that situation. And so I just want to again caution you, don't get trapped in that vein of thinking that says, well, I just pray the word. Well, you might literally be praying the ink off of the pages. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean you're partnering with Holy Spirit.
Right. Don't be a Martha with your prayers.
Yeah, that's it.
Your to-do list. I used to say this all the time. I'm just really task-oriented. What a terrible thing to say. I'm just really Martha is what I should have said. Because Mary was all about the relationship. She didn't care. It'll get done. She's going to sit here and receive and download and just soak and listen and honor and stay humble. And the answer would come, the direction would come, because she was waiting. She wasn't just going through card after confession, you know. I mean, sometimes you might have to find the one that he's speaking about. But there's a waiting. There's a yielding. That's the relationship of it, you know. Mm-hmm. Where it's not just your checklist.
Yeah, see that, and that's the that people don't want to do that.
Yeah, that, I mean, because, yeah, you have to wait. It takes patience.
And what did he say? He said what? Be?
Still.
Still. Yeah, that's where people struggle.
The enemy wants you to feel like it's powerless and it's not going to work fast enough. And I think that is a real struggle for our culture because, mm-hmm. you know, we got push button everything. And it is a struggle to be quiet and to wait. But he'll teach us. And he'll show us. We can learn just like any culture can, you know, because we're kingdom culture.
We will and we shall.
We will and we shall.
He's helping us both to will and to do. And we're going to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to work with him.
Yeah.
Have you got to the
scripture?
Galatians yeah. scripture? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. I did. She says, you may have stored up thousands of scriptures in your heart. You may have spiritual shelves piled full of Bible truths and principles. You may have cabinets packed with promises from the word, and you should. But only by following the leadership of the Holy Spirit will you be able to reach up with the hand of faith and get the precise truth you need every time. Only he can guide you to the perfect tool. And this is all about your city. He wants to take you into the spirit over your city. Over your neighborhood, over your family. He says, come on up into the spirit and let me show you what's going on. You get up above the situation. Let me show you what you need, what scripture you need, what weapon you need to release over these situations. And that's your answer. That's where the power will be. And you'll recognize it. You'll sense it in your spirit after it's released that note of victory that comes, that you did what you're supposed to do for right now, and then he'll give you more later, and it'll become even more precise and more direct. And she shares, did you want to say something about Galatians?
No.
She talks about, I was her mentor in prayer. His name was Philip Halverson. I believe that was his name, Phil Halverson.
Yeah.
And she said that when her and her husband would get together with him and his wife to pray, they'd sing and worship God or pray in tongues and speak the word until it seemed like we'd cross over a line where we'd become more aware of God and the things of the Spirit than we were of our natural surroundings. At that point, our prayers would start to change. Instead of just praying by ourselves, it would seem as if Holy Spirit began to borrow our hearts and our mouths, and we would be praying by his power. I always noticed when we reached that point, my spirit would become more sensitive and more energized. Many times I started getting answers from the Lord, answers I'd been seeking for a long time, and I'd grab a piece of paper and start writing them down as fast as I could. Time and again, when we would step over that line, Brother Halverson would actually jerk under the power of the Holy Spirit and say, "Oh God, please let the body of Christ know that in this place where we are right now are all the answers and all the solutions. Everything they need is here. It's all in the Spirit." And you know, that's what we're saying. You know, you get in a tight place, and you just start grabbing the books, and you start grabbing the papers and the confessions and, you know, the teachings, and get it, pull it out. I got to start confessing something. Get it. Go, get it quick. I have so been there. And, you know, something we heard about Brother Hagin is he would always, I never saw this, but I've heard people say this. He would always go quiet. You know, people would be like, "What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Put pressure on him. We need an answer. We need to decide. You know, we got to do something." And he'd just go quiet and go in that place until he got the sword for the situation. The answer for the situation. She says, "Oh, how often we stumble along in life unsatisfied and uncertain because we are trying to perfect in the flesh that which we began in the Spirit. We must follow him, the Holy Spirit, continually, and let him breathe fresh life into everything we do." And then she talks about Brother Hagin. She talks about how he was raised off his deathbed as a 16-year-old boy. He believed the word and made confessions of faith over a period of months, and God raised him off of his deathbed. She says that after he would share this story, she would hear people ask him things like, "How many times did you make those confessions?" It seemed they wanted some standard prescription or formula they could follow to guarantee their results.
Wanted their magic wand.
Yeah. Brother Hagin didn't give them one, of course, because he didn't have one. He didn't live by formulas. He lived by the leading of the Holy Spirit. When he made a confession of faith, he just wasn't parroting scriptures. He was saying the specific words from the Bible that the Holy Spirit had quickened and spoken to him. And so back to the Mary aspect of it all. Miss Lynn says that after everybody had asked Brother Hagin to share with them his confession formula, I went with the group to have lunch with him and put forward a question of my own. "Brother Hagin," I said, "I know you receive faith for healing by confessing scriptures. I know you were raised up from your deathbed by standing on the word. But I want to ask you something. Did you pray too? Did you talk to God and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit?" He dropped his fork and looked at me like I was crazy. "Well, of course I prayed," he said. "That goes without saying." At that moment, I realized that Brother Hagin's entire life was based on his fellowship with the Lord. That's why he walked in so much victory. He always got in the Spirit and in the presence of God and let the Holy Spirit talk him through every challenge. Never occurred to him that any believer would make the mistake of trying to pray or walk by faith without first doing that one simple thing.
Wow.
She says, "Dearest prayer, if your prayer life, or just your life in general, has gotten too hard or too complicated, if you aren't finding the exact answers you need to meet the specific challenges you're facing, go back to that one thing. Put down all the formulas, steps, and principles for a moment, wonderful as they are, and connect with the Holy Spirit. Follow his promptings as you sing, worship, pray in tongues, or read the word. Focus your heart and mind on the Lord until he fills your consciousness with himself. Stay with it until you step over the line and find yourself in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That's good.
Yeah.
So simple.
Yeah.
So I think one thing we, as we just kind of bring the podcast here to a close today, I think we need to remind ourselves that it's not about formulas.
Yeah.
Once again, it's okay to have a mentor, to have a spiritual father and a mother that could show you things. But ultimately, it's about connecting with Holy Spirit, having a relationship with Holy Spirit, trusting Holy Spirit to show you things to come, to tell you how to do this, how to do that, how to communicate with him, how to talk with him. A lot of people just want to go find a book where they don't have to do any of the relational aspects with Holy Spirit, and they're just pray the book.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's all bad. What I'm saying is to go to the next level.
Yeah.
It's really just about developing that personal relationship with the Holy Spirit and letting him, the person of Holy Spirit, navigate you in these things.
Yeah. Only he can.
Wow.
He designed your book to begin with. He knows what's coming. He knows what's ahead. He knows what's behind. He's got the exact steps, the exact words that have to be released.
Praise the Lord. Well, love, any final thoughts as we bring it to a close? Anything you want to encourage the people with?
Yeah, maybe we should pray.
Okay.
Father, we just come in agreement over this for those who are listening.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
There's an impartation in the Spirit right now.
Right now.
Just as they're listening and watching, there's a peace settling over each one. It's a deep peace coming from their spirit, but it's releasing and relaxing all of the fears, anxieties, all of the tension. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Trust, yield, let go. Hallelujah. Let go. You might even need to start to chuckle just a little bit by the faith. And just receive that from this point on, when you encounter the next obstacle, the next hurdle, the next hiccup, the next hindrance, that your first thought is going to be Holy Spirit. From this point on, you're not going to forget this because you're changed, you're marked, it's imparted, you're receiving. That from this point on, you're not going to go frantic. And even if you do for a couple seconds, the Holy Ghost will prompt you. He'll remind you, say, hey, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, go quiet, go still. Listen, check inside, wait. And then release. And really, I learned this from Sister Brenda Kruko. When you do that, you have to go as a lamb. You have to humble yourself to do that. And you go into him as a lamb. And as you wait like a little lamb at his feet, he begins to download to you what you need, and suddenly you are a lion against your adversary. You go at him like a lion with that word. You might even roar. You might be roaring in your prayer closet. But you started off waiting, getting your orders. And you waited until the power came and you recognized that change where you were in the Spirit and you released it. And these things are going to go much quicker for you now. Things are going to crumble much faster for you now. Things that have been holding you back. Sicknesses that have been holding on are going to dissolve much quicker because you're not going to be doing it in the flesh anymore. It's a new time. It's a new day. In Jesus' name.
I agree.
Yeah.
We agree. Come on, if you agree with that, just say, I agree with that in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's just tell him it's working in us right now. According to his words, it's working in us right now. In the name of Jesus. Well, friends, thank you so much for tuning in today. Miranda, thank you so much for being here. That was powerful. That's prayer cool. impartation. I believe these are the types of keys, the strategies, the motivation that you need. It's going to help you to get out there and get some things done. So bless you, friend. Hey, if we can help you in any way, let us know. Send us an email, hello@gracecitychurch.tv. That's hello@gracecitychurch.tv. Call us if you have any questions or if we can agree with you in prayer concerning anything. It's our joy. It's our privilege. It's our honor to pray for you. Call us 870-741-9099. Also, hey, if you'd like to partner with us financially to help us keep the podcast out there in all the various podcast venues, then we invite you to do that. You can mail a check, P.O. Box 7. That's P.O. Box 7, Harrison, Arkansas 72602. Go to the website, gracecitychurch.tv. Click on the Give button. Make sure you notate it for the podcast. Or you can text the Give, 84321. Follow the prompts, Grace City Church. Thank you so much, friend, for listening. Hey, until next podcast, next Thursday, join us right here, Grace for This City podcast. Until then, be blessed, my friends.